Welcome to Sales Talk for CEOs. I'm glad you're here. I'll be interviewing CEOs who have successfully scaled their B2B sales organization. In each episode, I'll start by uncovering the sales background of each CEO, dig into the strategies they use to build their sales organization, and wrap it up with what the future holds. We'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly of scaling a sales organization. I'm your host, Alice Hyman. How do you make the decision to continue founder-led growth even after your company is 8 years old? Our next guest is going to reveal why she's still doing founder-led growth and what's next for the growth of her company. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
And your company is a certified B Corp, and we're going to get into that a little bit later because that is a very rigorous process. And I want to understand how that helps you position yourself in the marketplace and sell. But first, why don't you just introduce us to Makena a little bit and tell us what you're doing, because it is really awesome. And just finding you and finding out what you were doing, I was just thrilled that you agreed to be on the show.
Oh, well, thanks again for having me on here. So if kind of overall, if I'm going to just describe Makena with basically three types of companies that are already out there, you would say we're like a Rakuten meets a Nielsen meets a Thrive Market or Whole Foods. So we connect these better for you, better for the planet brands with consumers, no matter where they shop. And how we do that is through our app, which is, we call it kind of a tool for the consumer to discover, find, and earn cash and rewards on healthy and sustainable products, no matter where they shop, online or at a store. Wow. And then we just collect that data directly from the consumer, and we help the brand understand who that consumer is, where they're shopping, what's in the basket, and become more efficient and effective with their marketing dollar.
So you really have two sides to your sale. You have to get those healthy markets and stores to come onto your app, and then you have to get consumers to download that app and start using it.
You got it. You got it. And it's, but it's not really, well, I guess it is sort of a sale of sorts to the consumer. It's actually a very simple message. It's like, buy better, save money, you know, get paid for getting healthy. I mean, there are like four words you can use to get consumers excited about Makena. We level that playing field between Wonder Bread and Food for Life, or Snickers bar and a Kind bar, so that when somebody goes into a place that they like to shop already, like it could be a convenience store, it could be a Walmart, it could be a Whole Foods. We really don't care. It could even be online, that they don't look at the price when they're thinking about what to buy. So they think about
how it will impact them once they've eaten it, right? So they're thinking, make a healthy choice versus, oh my gosh, this is so much more expensive.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're trying to, you know, take the sticker shock out of buying better. So that's kind of an easier kind of message. And then for brands, and it's not just brands, it's retailers, it's data aggregators, it's private equity groups, it's research institutions, it's the government. It's a different story, right? But we are a connector, we're a hub. And so, yes, we do have to look at selling on both sides.
Well, and I believe selling is solving. And so we're always solving, right? We have to solve all day long, and you're solving for the consumer, and then you're solving for your other constituents. And that is selling, right? You are educating them and helping them make good decisions on both sides. So that's selling to me. And that's why I love sales, because I get to solve problems all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, you started this company, I think, about 8 years ago, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I had this idea. I was teaching at the University of Colorado, and one of my colleagues was talking about exchanging textbooks with a mobile device. And I had started a company back in the 90s that was an interactive touchscreen kiosk system, very similar to Makina, but it helped the consumer navigate the natural products retail environment. It was not focused on the brand. And when I was at the university, I was like, oh my gosh, I got like chills up and down my arm. I was like, wow, I'm going to take natural interactions. I'm going to bring it into the 21st century. Everybody's got a handheld kiosk now.
That's right.
And now I can really help people buy better anywhere they want to shop.
Wow. I love that. So you were teaching and you had already done something similar. And then this kind of just struck you.
It did. I
so
had
you
that.
You had a little bit of a platform for it because you were kind of part of the way there.
Well, I understood what I was building, who I was building it for, what problems I was solving. You talked about solving problems, but I had never built like a mobile app. So I had that aha moment in November of 2011. 2012, I started doing a lot of research. I filed my corporate documents in 2012 because I was like, wow, I think this will have some legs. And then, continue to kind of work on the concept and see if this was going to be a go or a no go, right? And got into an accelerator. We got into the Telluride Venture Accelerator. So I did a lot of testing before we really rocked and rolled it. And so we really talk about Makina starting in 2014 when I was, and the company was really physically, I was in Telluride and then just built it from there.
Wow. What a great place to be building a company. I love it.
Incredibly gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah.
And my husband and I actually got married outside of Telluride. So Telluride actually held a very special place in my heart, even before I got into the accelerator. We got married there and, I used to volunteer at the Telluride Film Festival. So lots of fun experiences and just memories.
Awesome. So you're in that, in that incubator, accelerator, and moving things along. And when was it, you had to do some development, but when was it that you actually said, okay, we're ready to go sell this?
So we started kind of selling the concept pretty early. We had a number of brands that we started to talk to in 2014, which is one of the reasons why I continued to develop and put my heart and soul into the company. I have kind of a backstory that, we can talk about later, but, I had been a general counsel for software companies. And so I was giving up a lot in my career to really focus on building something where I felt like I was helping people lead healthier lives on a cleaner planet. Mm-hmm. So, it was a lot, it's been a lot of work. It's still a lot of work. Being a founder is just, you gotta really love what you're doing.
You do. You absolutely do. So you started selling the concept early on. And I would suppose in this type of sale, when does money actually get exchanged, right? So I know you've got both sides where people download the app and then they go shop, but you've also got to get the brands and the retailers and the everybody else on board, right? And of course you had to sell the investors on it too.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
after you sold the investors, and you may still be doing so, but what about the others, the brands? How did that work? How did you approach them and how did you get them on and start growing your sales?
So that was kind of interesting. We spoke with a lot of brands. I had one of my two early companies was in the natural product space. So I knew a few people in the space. And quite frankly, I went to one of them very early on, and he's the executive director of Naturally Bolder now. But I went to Bill and I'm like, hey, I have this idea. What do you think? Do you think that brands would pay to have this solution, to be in front of the consumer, to try to understand the consumer's buying behaviors? And he's like, yeah, I think they would. So Bill was part of my early team. Now he's an investor in the keynote, which is kind of cool. But I started talking to those brands very early on, went to my first trade show, which was Expo West in 2014. We had a booth and we really didn't have anything. We had this kind of
vapor. You had a great idea.
We had a great idea. We had this vaporware, you know? And I actually learned something when I was a general counsel and an in-house counsel from a CEO out in Silicon Valley. I won't mention his name, but he was the CEO of a successful company that actually just got recently acquired. And Praveen, I can say that name, Praveen kind of had this sort of this concept that he started pitching. And then all of a sudden he had these really big banks signing up and then he made a real company out of it. So I learned from Praveen that you don't really necessarily have to have everything all together before you start selling.
That's right.
And as a founder, you're always selling. You're selling to investors, just like you mentioned, investors, team members, in my case, consumers, brands, partners in the industry. So you're just always selling. And you have to be really careful
100%, about. 100%, Karin, 100%. I think that when you're doing founder-led growth like that, you are leading with the idea when everything isn't already perfect, because you're going to get a lot of information by sharing, right? And then you're going to get back feedback that will inform you on what direction, you know, your product development should take. And so this is really important. The thing I always caution founders on, though, is when you're ready to scale and you want to get salespeople to go do the selling, they need to feel confident that you have a solution that people want to buy, right? So it switches from, it's okay for the founder to be out there, hey, we've got this idea. It's not completely baked, but we want your input and we're going to bake it some more, to now we've got sellers out there and it has to be baked, right? Not that we can't add to it, but they need that confidence, you know?
And we've tried various things. I mean, I have a number two in the company, Rick, who has sold as well. Yeah. We had some early help on, some of our advisors are like, oh, this brand would love what you're doing. We can talk about channels a little bit later, but we did put out today in a press release that we just partnered with Whole Foods Magazine. We're going to start licensing the data that we've collected to retailers. So, you know, as I said, you're expanding all the time. You're trying different things. If it doesn't work, then you got to move on. The cool thing about Makena at this point, because we have, you know, almost 4 years behind us in kind of really truly selling the platform, is that we have real metrics that somebody can touch and use. We have real test cases or case studies of brands that have been on our platform, who have been very happy with what we've been doing for them. And so we probably need to bake it a little bit more, but we're going to be scaling this up really, really quickly in 2023. I mean, we've done a lot of groundwork and it takes a lot of time. Sometimes it doesn't take as much time, but for us, you know, we wanted to make sure that we listened to our customer. And that we made adjustments as we went along the way. We've never really pivoted. I think a lot of times you hear about companies pivoting. We've always been very focused on our vision and then the mission. The vision's like, again, helping people lead healthier lives on a cleaner planet. And I have a personal story behind it, so I'm very passionate about it. But the mission is around helping these, you know, emerging brands really understand, you know, how to move their product off the shelf. Where are they doing well? What is their competition doing? What's happening with trade spend? You know, can they save on not really spending all their money on the various social media channels. Can they save on that? Can they save on buying data from companies like, you know, Nielsen and Numerator? Is there a better way to do it? So we've really listened and we've tried to create a product in response to that or a solution in response to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a good point to move to why you chose to be a certified B Corp and how that has helped you to grow the business, right? So it's been you and your number two out there talking to people and you've done the sales and, you know, driven all the growth so far. But what was it that really made you decide to do all the work that it takes to be a certified B Corp?
So when I started Makena, I knew that I wanted to be a certified B Corp because when I launched Natural Interactions, this interactive touchscreen kiosk system in the 1990s, I had sat on a steering committee for Business for Social Responsibility. And I knew that business could be a force for good. And, you know, I also knew that the customers, I'm not talking about the consumer, because the consumer's just catching on, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Certified B Corps are not, I mean, consumer doesn't really know what that means yet.
Right.
But my customers, the brands in this space, are all trying to make a difference in one way or another. It may be that they're woman-owned or BIPOC-owned or local or they're certified gluten-free or non-GMO or certified organic or whatever it is, right? They're all trying to make a difference in their own way. And there's also now, on top of it, obviously, we have a climate crisis, right. That a lot of the brands that we work with are trying to come up with new ways to manufacture their products, to, you know, use recycled either plastics and packaging their products, or they're using upcycled like grains to create new food products. And so for us, it was really important, you know, on many different levels. Our customers cared, but, you know, I don't know if the investors care that much yet, but they will, because there are more and more companies that are incorporating ESG into their corporations. We know that consumers do care about the environment because we've had, as you know, heat and droughts and floods and hurricanes and himicanes and all of that. So for me, it was just really important that we put a stake in the ground around how we were going to build Makena, you know, between the consumer, between the customer, between our investors, between the public, between our partners, and make sure that, you know, our team was really on board with how we were looking at the world. So there you go. That was a lot.
Well, it's a lot of work and it's admirable. And because you went through all of that, do you feel like there are companies who have, you know, they maybe felt more that they wanted to partner with you than if you didn't have that certification, that it has helped your growth?
It's interesting. It's on my business card. It's on our little, and it's kind of interesting. I just happen to have this, our little brochure for brands. So I just was at Expo East in Philadelphia, which is, you know, a big trade show for the natural products Expo.
Yep.
And, you know, when brands saw this, they're like, oh, it's kind of immediately, they kind of trusted us more. You know, we could put this little seal We could put that seal on our, you know, on our website, on my business cards, on our business cards, on our little brochures, everything that we do, because, you know, it's important to us, as I, you know, as you mentioned, our customers do care. I don't know if it has necessarily helped with the velocity in which we get the customers on board, but it's definitely helped with the trust factor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think that velocity has a lot to do with trust, but you still have a sales cycle, a buy cycle there, right? But I think that the speed of trust is fast. Mm-hmm. So once they trust you, it goes faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And before they trust you, it goes slower. So I do think it does equate. So you went through everything that it took to be the certified B Corp. And now you guys have grown to where you are in the last 4 years since you started selling. Mm-hmm. Here you are. It's you and your number two. But it's
and
time.
They're like 14 people. There are 14 people on our
14
team.
14 people, but your number two is helping you sell. The rest maybe are, they're probably supporting that, right?
They're doing other things, yes.
And they're building things probably as well, right? Building the software, make sure it works and all of that. So you're ready, you said, to really blast off now and scale. So what's coming next? How do you foresee this happening? You've probably gotten a lot of the major brands that you wanted already, but I'm sure you have quite a list that you want to approach. So tell us what it's going to look like from here on out for your sales growth.
Yeah, so we have, I don't know, we have about 4,000 brands in our pipe drive. We use pipe drive.
Nice.
We have to start working through them. I have personally met almost every single one of those contacts.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Either me or Rick have done that. Either I or, is that right? Rick or I?
Me.
Yeah. Whatever. And so we do have to work through that, but we are working through some partnerships, which allow us and are going to allow us to scale a lot quicker. I did go to a trade show recently called Grocery Shop, and I kind of felt like, you know, of course, natural products industry trade shows, you know, and events and things like that are definitely our tribe, no question, because again, this is the bigger vision. But the this trade show, which is Shop Talk, Grocery Shop, is really sort of my tribe, because Makena is really about the data. We're about real-time first-party data that we get from the consumer. And these partners, potential partners at this trade show, know the value of what we have built so far and what we're continuing to build at Makena. And some of those partners, without mentioning any names, have built very big communities that we can tap into, which I'm super excited about. So we'll be able to scale, not just through Makena and doing the one-on-one selling, but do the one-to-many selling. You know, there are also investors that have invested in 50 brands. And, you know, of course, they want to understand how their brand is doing against somebody else's brand. So there are a lot of different ways that, without even hiring a CRO, although we need to, that we're going to be able to scale the company in a bigger way. And we're expanding our product set. So it's not just software as a service for the brands that come on Makena, where there's a promotional piece and also a data piece, but we're expanding to get all of the data in a format that the brand can just, you know, take a look-see into without having to do much and not hire a data analytics person. And then we also have the different clients or customers that we can focus on, not just the brand, but we can focus on the retailer. We can focus on data aggregators. We can focus on agencies. We can focus on educators, research institutions. I mean, there's just a lot there. The government, we have a lot of data that will help.
Wow. That's awesome. So I think that it sounds like you're going to be building this channel out so that you have others promoting and talking about and educating about mm-hmm. Makena. and that you'll also bring in some direct sellers.
Yes.
And probably someone to manage the channels, right? So, yes. And then someone to lead this whole go-to-market rev ops part of your company.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's kind of interesting because I was just speaking with somebody this morning about like, what does that person look like? Right. Yeah. What kind of experience do we want that person to have? I mean, are we going to hire a recruiter to do this? Is it going to be through my networks already? I mean, I have, 10,000 LinkedIn followers or whatever. I also have people in the industry that I know that, have been interested in Makena, maybe interested in leading, our sales team, our sales channel, the different opportunities for biz dev, that know the space. But some people are sort of, the interesting thing is you want to get somebody that's really excited about what you're building or what you have built, that's passionate about maybe the bigger vision. We've made a few mistakes along the way. We brought somebody on board and it was a try before you buy kind of thing, which was great. But this person was like a VP of sales for a natural products brand. That is not the person that you really want to bring on board because yes, they understand how to get the product on the shelf at a retailer, but they don't really understand the tech piece of what we're building, or they may not even understand the data piece of what we've built. So we just need to make sure that it's the right kind of fit. We use this thing called EOS. I don't know if you've heard of EOS.
Yes, absolutely. I'd say most of the CEOs that are my clients use the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS, but many of our guests are EOS as well. And I think it is such a wonderful, helpful, system for companies to run on. I mean, it is an operating system.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we can see what kind of traction, quote unquote, we have based on the book by Gino Wickman. And it really kind of helps us kind of figure out like, okay, so this isn't working, but maybe this is. So we have also tried other things too. So, we looked at hiring like a BDR team, and just seeing if that would work.
Did you stick with it or?
We didn't. We had something happen, which was kind of interesting. One of the BDR folks was pregnant and incredible person. We really liked her a ton, but the outsourced team didn't tell us. And, and then she was gone. And so we felt like you could have that happen with an employee. So it's not, but we loved her again, super cool person, really was passionate about like what we were doing, but we found that was just not cool. So I don't know if I would do that again. I'd rather have a little bit more control over that person either being our direct contractor or having that person as an employee.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we live and learn, right? So we try things and we see how they work. I think that you have a list of 4,000, which is amazing that you have that and you've met most of them. And I think really what we want to do is get an introduction to the people that we need to talk to at those companies rather than trying to cold contact them anyway. So you've got this already built. And this is where I believe the CEO can really play a huge role in sales once the company's mature, right? So you're moving from being all founder-led growth to now we've got to scale. So we've got to do some things different. We've got to hire some people. But what then is my role as CEO? Well, of course, you're always busy doing a lot of things as CEO, but your role in sales needs to be very specific because you don't have a lot of time, but you want to make the biggest impact with the time that you do have to focus on sales. Mm-hmm. And I think especially for someone like you who has such a great network, it's really important to think about how you can leverage that network to help your salespeople or your channel get the introductions they need. So you're walking them in the door with the credibility and they take it from there so that you don't have to do the entire sales / buy cycle. You get to do the introduction part and passing on the credibility and the confidence, right? And then they do what they do best, which is get all the pieces put together, close it, and then help, you know, onboard it and pass it off to whoever's going to maintain it and grow those customers and keep them engaged and very happy, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that the fact that you or your number two have already made connections with so many people on that list is really going to be your propulsion, you know, to blast off. I really do think that.
Yeah. And I agree. And then on top of it, there's all these channel partners that we're talking with. We did, as I said, maybe this was a little bit earlier that we talked about this, but we signed a partnership agreement with Whole Foods Magazine. And they have a community of about 16,000 retailers in their network. They've catered to retailers for 35 years. Honestly, it's not the same thing as Whole Foods. It's a separate publication. But they're very trusted in this space. They're all about educating the retailer and also the public about the natural channels. And so anyway, the whole idea is to help provide data to these retailers. So again, we're kind of not, you know, we have great brands, don't get me wrong, and we're going to continue to expand on that, but it's moving us into another source of revenue for the company, nice. Which is kind of an offshoot of what we built, right? It's not an offshoot. It was sort of deliberate, but we're finally getting to that point where we're starting to, you know, license the data piece to others is probably the best way to say it.
Wow. So coming soon, more work with partners, reaching out, maybe a channel partner manager, maybe a couple of salespeople, and maybe a CRO. If, you know, it sounds like you really have some thinking to do about, you know, who you're looking for, like, what is that person like, and what will they do for us, and how will that all blend together? I think today, with sales, marketing, and customer success really needing to be brought together under one roof, no silos, just really build structures around the customer so we can support them. Mm-hmm. It just needs to look different today. And I agree with you when you said that these people who are coming on next have to have that same passion that you have for what you're doing. And I think, like you said, we're selling all the time. And part of what we're selling is to the people who are going to come work for us, right? We want them to believe what we believe and have that confidence to go forward with that to all of the customers that we want to bring in to our world.
Yeah, we were, we are raising money, and we're raising money on making some key hires around, we call them brand delight people.
I love it.
So they'll, you know, they'll be partly responsible for, you know, kind of finalizing those sales, bringing, just like you said, the customer onto the platform, the brand onto the platform, and keeping them delighted, yes. As we continue to grow the company, and really just listening. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I think it's really important for a founder to continue to sell no matter what. You have to listen to the feedback that you're getting from your customer. I mean, are we doing the right thing? Are we handling are we solving their problems for them? Because if you're so far removed from that, you're not doing your company any good whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The CEOs I know who are really doing well talk to their customers at, you know, at the highest levels and in between, and they have, you know, their customer success or customer delight people talking to the customers all the time and checking in and making sure that things are going well and bringing in new insights and new ideas and really helping the customer be successful. And I think today investors are looking at that. Instead of just looking at how many new customers did you bring, they're more interested in how many successful customers did you keep. And that's what builds sustainable businesses, not just bringing in more and more new customers and then, you know, the churn, and we've got to bring in more because of the churn, right? It's about successful customers. And truly, like, I think that's what drives most of us as CEOs. It's that feeling, knowing that our customers are so successful.
Or we help them get there. You know, there is one customer on our platform that has been growing leaps and bounds, and we're always included on that particular customer's investor deck, which is as part of their marketing team, I guess you could say. And anytime that we have like a new innovation, we bring it to them first. And you know, we always get invites to, hey, come by our booth, or we'd love to see you if you're going to be at Expo East. I didn't get there, which I feel kind of bad about, but you know, we came up with a new idea on, we have this game show now called What's in Your Cart. And it's really to get the, and each episode is focused on a particular brand. So it was to get like the brands really excited about doing something new and innovative and get, you know, some influencers involved, and then obviously get the customer, the consumer involved as well. So, you know, they've loved us coming to them with these ideas. They, I mean, that's, again, being the founder with a small, scrappy team, I think, you know, obviously my first real hires are these brand delight people that are continually talking to the customer, because unfortunately I can't do that all the time.
Right.
But I am looking forward to that day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, isn't that right? You get to that point where, wow, everything's running so smoothly. I can call customers and talk with them anytime I want to. And, you know, it's great that you have it set that you will talk to customers, but you're right. These brand delight people, that is their job. They should live and breathe it. And I love that brand delight. That is just amazing to hear that you have people who have that title and they care about your customers so much.
We have Shopper Delight too, by the way.
Shopper Delight too. Oh my gosh. For the other end, for the app, people who are using the app.
Yep. You got it. We have three people handling that. And it's really important. I mean, we obviously, sometimes there's, I mean, I would say 99.8% of the time we have no problems with, you know, any sort of fraud. So when it gets a little tough, it's when our Shopper Delight people have seen that a shopper may have submitted something that is not, you know, like they've whited something out and written something in on a receipt or whatnot. But, you know, that's when it gets kind of hard. I mean, you still want to treat everybody with respect. Most of the time, the shopper is right, right? But we just can't have that happen.
No, exactly. Well, I want to just say to everyone who's listening, who's a CEO and who supports a CEO, think about brand delight and shopper delight, and how can you bring some delight into your company for your customers? And I want everybody to download the app. All of you who are looking for healthier choices and ways to connect with brands that are sustainable, that care about the earth, and that care about the same things that you do, find the Makena app, download it, and start using it, because it just sounds so wonderful. And Karen, I so appreciate you and what you're doing. And I appreciate you came on the show to share it with everyone. So thank you so much for being here. I'm just delighted to know you.
Oh, there you go. Delight. I love that. Great to meet you, Alice.
Thanks for tuning in to Sales Talk for CEOs. You can find me at alicehyman.com. Be sure and connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know that you heard the show. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe, write a review, and share the show with another CEO.